Today, the Maifo Magic Pudding. Hi, this is Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Well, this post covering finance and property news. Well, the mid-year economic and fiscal outlook, the MAIFO update, released on Wednesday, estimates the Australian economy is expected to expand by a low 1.75% in the year 2023 to 24, before regaining momentum in 2024-25, when improved real incomes are expected to support a recovery in housing consumption. And it also notes that inflation, although moderating, is still too high. The outlook attributes that mainly to global oil prices, and Treasury has not changed its forecast time for inflation's return to the 2-3% target band, with 2.5% being hit in the middle of 2025. So the government is more optimistic than the RBA when it comes to expectations on inflation, because the RBA expects inflation to be just 3% by the middle of 2025. Treasury's analysis of the structural budget position suggests that the budget in 2023-24 is neutral with respect to inflation, as it neither is adding nor reducing inflationary pressures, which is quite convenient. Treasury continues to expect the economy to slow over the next few years, to grow below trend, with the unemployment rate drifting higher to 4.5% in 2025-2026. The migration intake, which of course has been a hot topic recently, is, as expected, upgraded for net overseas migration in 2023-2024 by 60,000 to 375,000, and probably they'll overshoot that number. And in 2024-2025, they forecast net overseas migration down to around 250,000. Well, good luck with that. I guess likely reflecting the expected impact of the government's recently announced migration strategy. But as we've discussed, that in itself is full of holes. Gross debt is expected to peak at 35.4% of GDP in 2027-28. And that is a 0.2 percentage point lower than projected in the May budget. And while debt is expected to be lower, the expected cost of capital has also been increased since the May budget, reflecting the rising government bond yields. Overall, these counteracting forces net out to a slight increase in interest payments as a share of GDP over the medium term. All up, the federal budget is headed for a small $1.1 billion deficit this financial year, which is an improvement of $12.8 billion compared to the deficit forecast in the May budget. And it suggests the final figure of the financial year might end up a surplus. If so, that would be the second year the Albanese government has delivered a surplus. Anxious to continue the fight against inflation, the government has not used the update to provide any cost of living relief or to make any new announcements. It has concentrated on improving the budget bottom line. In fact, it returned 92% of the upward revisions in revenue since the budget to the bottom line. But the MAIFO also shows deficits across all 4 years of the forward estimates, even if over those years the forecast underlying cash balances improve by a cumulative $39.5 billion compared to what was projected in the May budget. Total receipts are projected to be $67.3 billion higher than the budget forecast, and a strong labour market and high commodity prices have contributed to the improved revenue. A further $9.8 billion has been identified in savings and reprioritisation since the budget, and this has brought the total to nearly $50 billion since the election. A large part of the current savings come from cuts and delays in the infrastructure programme. Net new spending since the budget is $650 million in 2023-24, and Chalmers and Gallagher said in the statement that in face of the high but moderating inflation, high interest rates, and global uncertainty, the Australian economy was slowing. Growth is forecast to moderate in the near term as these pressures weigh on domestic activity, they said. And the minister said, "We know many Australians are doing it very tough, but welcome and encouraging progress is being made in the fight against inflation and in the economy more broadly." Gross debt as a share of GDP is expected to peak at 35.4% of GDP in 2027-28, then declined to 32.1% by the end of the medium term. As the national accounts data shows, disposable income has fallen. Households have been forced to run down their savings, and the household savings ratio has hit its lowest level in 16 years. The update predicts the economy will grow more strongly in 2024-25 due to rising real income, and charts a decline in real income growth turning around in future years. Fingers crossed on that one. Hopefully that will happen, because it's the only way Australian households will be able to cope with the cost of the living. The challenge facing the government is that it can't splash cash on easing cost of living pain without adding to inflation. And higher inflation would cause the Reserve Bank to raise its interest rate target even further, making things worse. There are ways to address the problem, of course. Initiatives in the May budget, including measures to reduce energy and childcare costs, aim to help households without putting pressure on inflation, did sort of, except, of course, that we know that they did actually move the inflation lever. The outlook notes that these are still to be rolled out in full, by the way. There are only a limited number of initiatives like this available to the government. Some are tempted to spend budget money instead, but Treasurer Jim Chalmers has avoided that temptation. There's no extra cost of living assistance package in this update. Instead, there is a determination to rein in debt and deficit. The MyEFO 23-24 budget balance is $1.1 billion. That's line ball between surplus and deficit, and the balance is in the difference between the two much larger numbers, the $685 billion in receipts and the $686 billion in payments. What's more, these of course are estimates, not actuals. We don't know how they'll turn out until the final budget outcome is released in October next year. And in the meantime, we can expect another round of estimates, which will be updated in May 2024. Now, it's worth saying, of course, that no self-respecting economist would claim it matters whether Australia is in a surplus or a deficit. What makes a difference to our national financial stability is how government responds to the economic pressures it faces. And on that measure, this seems to be a pretty responsible document. The revenue estimates have improved since the May budget, mainly due to global commodity prices. And the government has spent very little of this windfall. In fact, Chalmers' MIFO media release says the government has returned 92% of up provisions to revenue since the May budget. And he says this means the government will avoid $145 billion over 12 years to 2033-34 in interest costs on the debt we've inherited. As a result, the forward estimates for the Australian government's debt and deficits are lower at this point than at budget time. Now, there is an estimated $9.8 billion in savings, including already announced reductions in infrastructure spending. Offsetting those savings, though, are a raft of new spending measures arising from decisions taken since the budget. They include defence support for Ukraine, aged care reform, additional money for ongoing COVID responses, new pharmaceutical benefit scheme listings, a national water grid, housing, and several hundred more, many of which have been announced. And the report gathers them all together and adds them all up. And they add $1.1 billion to spend in 23-24 and $2.7 billion in 24-25. But in a blow to budget transparency, there is still a line for decisions taken but not yet announced. We don't know what decisions these are, but they are significant. The estimates start at $270 million in 23-24 and rise to a massive $1.8 billion in 26-27. Now, of course, it's impossible to tell what this spending is for. And in fact, if the government were to reverse those decisions between now and the next budget update, we would never know. But on the plus side, this media report has been released at roughly the midpoint of the financial year, because some previous reports have come out at different times, ranging from mid-October to late January, the latest it can be released under the Charter of Budget Honesty Act. So a MIFO in December is normal and regular, but you need to question the underlying assumptions that they're making and also the implications, because there, of course, is no indication at all, for example, of any tweaks to the tax bands. So they're going to continue to milk households in terms of the income from tax taken, which, as we discussed recently, has reached an all-time high. And, of course, if in fact the inflation rate doesn't come down as quickly as Treasury has expected, and is closer to the RBA measure, then it could be that unemployment is higher. So I guess the bottom line is this. Whilst there are some encouraging signs in some of the numbers here, it is really a magic pudding, and no one will know what the full ingredients are, nor indeed how it will turn out for a good few years yet. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.